You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Family problems can be very discouraging. It may not happen overnight, but God can bring more happiness to your family.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Heavenly Father, with repentant hearts, we come before Thy throne today to ask a special blessing for families. In many homes, there are harsh words, uncontrolled tempers, and walls of silence. By Thy Spirit, cleanse these relationships. Remove barriers, soothe bitterness, and move people to repentance and forgiveness. May all confused and despairing family members look to the cross of Calvary. And through this cross, may they see Thy love and forgiveness and their hope for heaven. We pray this in the name of Thy Son, Jesus. Amen. Over 1 million children ran away from home last year. Newspaper reports indicate that during the past several years, husbands and wives have also been abandoning their families. Family disarray and difficulties are now so common that bills have recently been introduced into state legislatures asking government officials to set up special crisis intervention units. These units would be used by the local police to deal with the increasing number of family problems. As the difficulties in families increase, perplexed counselors and bewildered social workers shake their heads in disbelief. They observe that many parents and children would sooner live with their friends than with members of their own families. Gauging by the amount of negative news involving the family in the past few years, it would be easy to conclude that it is impossible to have a happy family life in our generation. This is certainly not true. In spite of family feuds, adolescent runaways, parental abandonment, and a spiraling divorce rate, a happy family is still possible. But it does not happen naturally, and the transition from hassle to harmony does not take place overnight. It requires sacrifice instead of selfishness, and love instead of jealousy. For every member of the family, it means putting God and His Word first instead of one's own inflated ego and selfish desires. Yes, let us make no mistake about it. We live in the midst of a struggle between good and evil. And your family at this moment may be affected by this struggle. Family disharmony can be traced to the doorstep of Satan. The approach he uses is very clever and extremely tempting. He is always asking you and me to place the blame for our family problems and disharmony on other family members. But this satanic approach is indeed not new. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam disobeyed God, God said, "Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" Adam quickly tried to place the blame on someone else. He said to God, "The woman that thou gavest to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate." Then God turned to Eve and asked, What is this that you have done? Like Adam, in her desire to escape blame for her sinful actions, Eve replied, "The serpent, the devil, he deceived me, and I ate." Yes, for generations, for centuries, and for thousands of years, people have been trying to blame others for their problems, their mistakes, and their family difficulties. As a result, homes have become arenas for shouting matches, and visits to the divorce court, which only yesterday were occasional embarrassments, are now the only logical conclusion for a large percentage of marriages. As you listen today, think of your own family. Perhaps it is not as bad as some, but it is a far cry from what it could be. Instead of bitterness, let God use you as a powerful force to bring His Spirit of repentance, forgiveness, and healing and love to your home. The psalmist said, "How blessed are the people whose God is the Lord." As you examine your life, and as you realize any part you may have played in contributing to disharmony or heartache in your family, turn first to your Heavenly Father in prayer. Ask Him for forgiveness. Believe that when Jesus Christ cried out from the cross, "It is finished," that at that moment your mistakes and sins were totally paid for. Live today with the knowledge that God loves you and that He will never turn you away. Jesus said, "He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." Let God assure you of His complete and total pardon. But don't stop there. Then speak with other members of your family and ask them for their forgiveness for anything that you may have done. Just sitting down and talking with them will help so very much. The future welfare and harmony of your family may well depend on this. This is certainly not easy to do. The devil will do everything he can to discourage you from going ahead with it. But trust God and His power. Don't wait for someone else to break the ice. You make the first step. Don't listen to anyone who says it is impossible to have a happy family. Live with the confidence in the promise of God, recorded in Psalm 114. Blessed is the people whose God is the Lord. Your family will be blessed as you and as they turn in repentance for forgiveness and healing from your Heavenly Father. How desperately homes today need the divine prescription provided by St. John and recorded in the Holy Scriptures, which proclaim, "Let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love," the Bible says, "does not know God, for God is love." Indeed, you know as well as I do that during the past decade, we have seen all types of phony expressions of love in graffiti and on T-shirts. But the love spoken of in the Holy Scriptures is not a simplistic form of love. It is not a human philosophy or a surge of passing emotional sentimentality. The love of God spoken of in the Bible is one of sincere commitment and total sacrifice. Rather than putting it in my words, let me read it to you directly from the Holy Scriptures. In 1 John chapter 3 we read, and I quote, "We know love by this, that He, that Jesus, laid down His life for us." Yes, God's love for you is more than just talk. God demonstrated His love by giving His only Son as a sacrifice unto death. Certain music may make us feel emotionally loving toward another person. Poetry and plaques on the living room wall may remind us of the positive force love can have among people. But the highest form of love was shown to you and me when God sent His Son to suffer and to die for us on the cross. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. No, Jesus is not standing and pointing His finger at you. He is not condemning you for your failures in your family. With love in His eyes, with forgiveness in His heart, and with His arms open wide in mercy, He pleads with you to look at the cross on which He died. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus paid for your mistakes and for your failures. After 3 terrible hours on that cruel cross, he bowed his head, gave up the ghost, and cried out, "It is finished." He was then placed into the grave, but he did not remain defeated by death. He rose again on the 3rd day and now offers you, no matter whether you are a parent or a young person or a child, the same devil-defying strength and power to overcome any shortcomings through which you are now contributing to the unhappiness and the disharmony of your home. The sacrifice Jesus made on Calvary's cross for you and me can never be fully comprehended nor totally appreciated. Just think of this. Jesus had committed no sin for which he had to pay. He had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But out of love for you and me, the Heavenly Father permitted Jesus to be cursed. Jesus suffered inexplicable grief. God the Father accepted Jesus' bloody sacrifice, his horrible suffering, and his terrible death as a substitutionary payment for your sins and mine. While we were yet sinners, St. Paul says, Christ died for us. Whenever the devil tempts you not to forgive a member of your family, think of why Jesus died. Yes, Jesus died so that you and I can have a clear conscience, so that we can forgive and love our fellow family members, and so that we can live eternally in heaven. Yes, you and I may desire the Lord to forgive us, and yet we frequently are unwilling to forgive our friends and our family members. Let our consciences always be pricked, and may we always be reminded of what Jesus did for us as we say the Lord's Prayer. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Not long ago, the police were called to investigate the deaths of parents of a wealthy family. Outwardly, everything seemed to be harmonious, but inside the home, things were different. There was very little communication among family members. Happiness and harmony were absent. Upon further investigation, the police learned that the father had been a workaholic. The mother was constantly gone and involved in bridge clubs and other activities, and the children each went their own direction. Among other things, this family had been infected by a social disease called meism. This vicious and insidious disease, designed by the devil, causes people to do whatever they want, to follow their own desires and wishes, and to remain unconcerned about friends and family members. The end result of this lifestyle, which you also may be acquainted with, is usually emptiness, unhappiness, and frequently total despair. This does not have to be. A happy home is possible today. Blessed is the people whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the house whose members turn to God. It is not always easy to be a positive influence in one's own family. Without the power of God, this is impossible. But the Holy Spirit can change your grudges to graciousness and your acts of indifference to acts of sacrifice. When you and I confess our sins, God enables us to turn from our shameful past. The old passes away. Behold, all things become new. Oh, may the Holy Spirit always empower us to strive to imitate the selfless love of Christ. Jesus said that he came not to be served, but to serve. In this same way, if we are to expect to be part of a happy family, we must also decide to be a servant to other family members. Let me reread the section of the Holy Scriptures from 1 John chapter 3. We know love by this, that Jesus laid down his life for us. And now the Bible continues by saying, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. A happy family takes hard work and lots of dedication. It is not like 3 5-year-old children playing house. It takes unlimited patience, and all family members must serve one another. Those of you who are husbands and fathers, you are the heads of your homes. God expects you to assume this important responsibility. On the final day of judgment, you will be held accountable for the way in which you have carried it out. But this is not something you need fear, For the Holy Scriptures admonish all husbands to enjoy life with the woman whom you love. And please note, in this generation of wife swapping, God says enjoy life with the woman, not the women whom you love. It is singular, not plural. God also expects wives to love and respect their husbands. This takes much patience and sacrificial love. Many homes are unhappy almost entirely because the wife is moody, selfish, and never satisfied. In the 27th chapter of Proverbs, we read that a contentious woman is like the constant dripping on a rainy day. In Proverbs chapter 21, we read, "It is better to live in a corner on a roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman." Family members must never point fingers. Remember, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. Neither should we condemn each other. In a family, everyone has to pitch in to make it work. Like a winning athletic team, it takes the cooperation of every team member to make the effort successful. And for you children listening today, God also expects you to do everything possible to contribute to a happy family. Certain television dramas, lyrics in popular music, and even some of your teachers may encourage you to question the authority of your parents. But God expects you to obey those who He has placed over you. In the Bible we read, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother." The responsibility of being a parent is awesome. With few exceptions, a happy home is a result of God-fearing and responsible parents. It is especially difficult today, where some church denominations have let down many parents by intentionally blurring the lines of difference between godly values and those of the world. And yet, God reminds all parents and especially fathers of their important task when He says, "Do not provoke your children to anger. Don't tease them or cause them to be confused or frustrated, but bring up your children in discipline and the instruction of the Lord." The 1970s and the 1980s may well go down in history as some of the most difficult times for the family. Script writers for major television shows frequently make fun of the traditional family unit. The new surging desire for everyone to do their own thing is just the opposite of what is necessary for a happy family life. The answer is not simple. There is no quick fix. Family seminars are helpful, but they are not the total answer. The relaxing of divorce laws and changing the requirements for parental custody of children may, in some cases, even make matters worse. In the next few years, the devil will put forth his most vicious efforts to destroy many homes. But no one need despair. God created the institution of marriage, and He has pledged His protection and His blessings on the family. Greater is he who lives as a silent but invited guest in the home than the one who desires to crassly enter in and destroy. Like the perilous waves constantly dashing against the base of the lighthouse, so also the devil will try to erode the firm foundations of your home and your family. And so today, ladies and gentlemen, members of the family, draw upon the strength of the one who has already defeated death and the devil, and the one who promises you whatever you ask him in his name. Yes, rejoice in God's promise. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the family who turns to God. Amen.